At Planet Fitness, a lot has changed since 1998, but our membership has always been just $10 a month. On June 28th, that rate will increase to $15 a month for new members. So if you've been thinking about joining, now is the perfect time to lock in $10 a month for good. Once you join, your rate will never increase for the life of your membership. Enjoy free fitness training and equipment for every workout, all in the judgment-free zone for $10 a month. Don't miss out. Offer ends Thursday, June 27th. Rejoining after cancellation will result in change in membership price. See club for details.
And now, it's the Mike Calter Show.
Ah! 8:16 on the Mike Calter Show. It's 102.5 The Bone. Super Heat and Air will be here tomorrow, Spanish. Tomorrow.
What are you eating?
What do you got?
He's wailing on a donut.
You got donuts out there?
Yeah, keep eating it, Carmen. You hear that? He's eating donuts. I'm getting healthier.
All right. Galvin, you moved to number one.
Hey!
It was delicious. Maple covered.
Oh, my God.
Are you bringing for everybody?
No.
Super Heat and Air is coming by tomorrow because I'm putting a new unit in my home. Because I honestly, it's not as cool as it could be. I have to keep my air in 68 to get it just to be like around 70 because it's so hot outside. Plus, these new units, they suck all the moisture out, all the humidity, so it makes it cooler, faster, longer. If you need a new unit, you can do that right now with Super Heat and Air. If you go to superheatandair.com, you can find out all about them, including their finance options. You can give them a call at 813-279-8213. That's 813-279-8213 or superheatandair.com. And know that they are available for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And these are the people, I mean, I know there's a lot of AC companies out there, but these are the people that we trust, that we worked with for, God, it's been 10 years now, and have put units in my home, my family's homes, and my friends' homes.
Fixed mine. Have been,
fixed Galvin's.
Could not be happier.
Yeah, and they do a great job, and they really go out of the extra mile for our listeners. Superheatandair.com. You know, we didn't mention, I mean, we just talked about it barely, but Trump, if you're a girl who goes into a breakup, and it's because your boyfriend's just like, you just don't do it for me anymore or whatever. Mm-hmm. You dress like a slut and you go out to the place where all the guys are going to be chasing you.
Yeah.
Fat girls, you slut it up and you go to all black club, you're going to walk out of there feeling like $1 million. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Trump was a fat girl at an all black club the other day at UFC.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody in there was going nuts. I'm talking about just the fans. The minute he walks in, the place goes crazy. I would be interested to meet and see Joe Biden at an event. Like, I that's a president. That's historic to me, whether you like him or not. I you know.
By the way, not everybody going crazy.
Well, I'm sure some people were not thrilled that he was there.
The possible vice president for Kennedy, Aaron Rodgers, was not happy to see
him. But did you hear that wasn't true?
They snubbed him and this and that, and I'm like,
They showed pictures of them sitting not too far away from each other, and then TMZ followed it up with pictures of them shaking hands and talking. Yeah. So, yeah. But the majority of the people there, I think, were very, very happy to see Trump there.
Standing ovation.
They love that Trump's a UFC fan. He walks in with Dana White. He sits right there at the table and he watches the fights, and the fighters love him. They jump over the fence to go say hi to him, and they make
Strickland
comments about him.
He was going to donate.
Yeah.
He talked to Rogan for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy.
They play American Badass when he walks in.
Yeah.
Which is great. Which is pretty funny.
Who's going to be our president? Yeah. I have no idea. Now I'm starting to hear about Hillary making a comeback. Biden's going to say he's too old and Hillary coming in.
By the way, he could absolutely use that because, you know, Kid Rock would allow him to use it for sure. Whatever, but that would be great for him. You know, they have all their campaign songs that they use, and the artist is always like, I don't want him to use this song. You know, whoever it is, Springsteen or... Fleetwood Mac, whatever. Kid Rock would be like, hell yeah, Trump can use it.
I thought it was fake. The video I saw, I thought somebody had added that, but no, they play American Badass when he walks out.
That's so funny. That's great. But he got a huge pop, and the whole time I'm looking at it, and I'm like, and even was Strickland or Poirier, one of them said, you know, Trump getting found guilty was one of the biggest travesties. And like,
that's Strickland,
And just sitting there knowing that knowing that the whole place is like, the guy just got convicted on 34 counts, and
nobody
everybody's
cares.
Like, we're going to vote for him.
Yeah.
I saw some AI pictures of him in an orange jumpsuit mopping floors in prison.
Yeah.
And I thought that, and it says this is, you know, details of what his detail could be. And it's just hilarious because he's got to deal with the Secret Service and all that stuff. I don't know. I don't mind if I go to jail with Secret Service.
Nah, it sounds like a big.
I'm only
awesome.
Worried about people coming at me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I read an interesting article. I didn't do my own research, but I read an article where somebody was going through Obama's campaign stuff, and he got caught doing the same thing and only had to pay a fine. He'd serve no jail time.
Oh, listen. There is no doubt that both sides are weaponizing.
It blows my mind. Yeah,
the justice system.
People don't care.
Did you see where they said his website shut down because of the donations? How many donations? But then they got it back up. It was like too much stuff at once, whatever. But they wound up making like $53 million in just a couple days.
Jailhouse present. We're gonna have a jail.
Yeah, it was $53 million. I saw a bunch of memes going around saying we didn't burn anything down. We didn't do anything. We raised $53 million.
Mm. Jailhouse president.
Oh, man. It's going to be so funny. We're doomed.
I don't know if funny is the word. Yeah. But
it is so preposterous.
Preposterous, yes, for sure.
Preposterous.
Yeah.
That the fact that it's looming out there that he might go to jail, mm-hmm. and everybody's still like, we're going to vote for him. And yeah. I'm not saying I'm not voting for him. I'm just saying it's the situation in which we're living in.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
All right, so I have some new music for you guys. Carmen, if you can start this at 10 seconds in there. It's an old song that was covered by an artist who is an older artist. And I'll even tell you, this artist is no longer alive.
Okay?
But it's just being released now. So take a listen to it. Tell me whenever you figure out. You'll know the song right away, but tell me who's singing it. Here we go. New music on the Mike Helta Show.
The Who.
Right.
Explained by the Who is a song. Now, somebody else is singing it.
Who's doing it? Got a feeling inside.
A certain kind. I feel I'm cold. Down my soul.
That was recorded in 1972. It was for the Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars album, but I guess they hadn't released it and stuff. The cover is The Who's 1964 single, so this was recorded in 72. Yeah, David Bowie doing The Who.
How pissed is Mo that it took us that long to guess who it was?
I played this on my show 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that was AI.
Oh, no.
That did it.
No.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
That is very cool. I love covers.
Yeah,
me too.
But it's weird because I don't want you to ruin a song, but I also don't want you to do it exactly the same as it is on the album.
That's pretty true to the Who's song, you know, kind of. But I do like whenever they put their own little flavor on it and stuff. But yeah, you don't want to change it up too much.
Yeah, and you also don't want to be exactly the same because then you just got garbage.
But it's also good for a new artist to do a throw a cover on there because if it was a hit before, it's going to be a hit again, and then they go, "Hey, I like this. Who are those guys?" And then they listen to the other stuff, and
it still blows my mind that back in like the days of Elvis, that they used to just sing each other's
songs.
And there was like it was just commonplace.
Yeah,
like Frank Sinatra was singing Dean Martin's song one week, and then. Following weekend singing an Elvis song and somewhere else. Yeah, they just adopted their...
Or they grab like a rhythm and blues song that the general public didn't know.
Yeah.
And they go, and then they do it as a standard. And they're like, all right, this is my song now.
I had no idea when the Counting Crows first... The Black Crows first burst out. That Hard to Handle was somebody else's song. I didn't know. There's a lot of that.
Well, wasn't it like Motown just like everything was repeated amongst the artists?
No, Motown was weird with them, Carmen, because it would be like, say we were Motown, you'd come in there and you'd be like, I wrote this song and listen to it. And we'd listen to it and I go, that's good. That's a good song for Spanish. Then Spanish would get that song and he would go in and record it. And then you would get a writer credit on it. He would get the recording credit on it. And then some backup, it's just so weird how they had like a machine to do all that stuff. And they would get a song and they would look at it and they'd go, this would be better for Gio. And Gio will sing this song. And then we'll bring in this band to sing the bang up with them. It was crazy. It was so incestual that they all did each other's songs and each other's stuff in that aspect. Yeah,
I love whenever you find out a song that became a hit and somebody else turned it down or something like that. Do you know Don Henley, Boys of Summer, who wrote that and who it was for originally? Which you could totally hear it once you think about it. So Don Henley, Boys of Summer, was written by the guitarist from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And he wrote it for Tom Petty. And Tom Petty said, no, that's not, you know. So he gave it to Don Henley, and Don Henley had a huge hit with it. But you could totally hear Petty singing that.
Free Fallin's not going to do Boys of Summer. That seems like it's a perfect fit.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like. Well, Free Fallin's another one, which is hilarious, because Free Fallin was Tom Petty solo. And he had a lot of his guys from the Heartbreakers play on a lot of his stuff, but it was Tom Petty solo stuff. And I guess he was having some problems with the bass player at the time. And he said, hey, I really want you to come and record on this. And he said, no. He goes, I don't like that song. It's not. It's just not a hit. It's no good. Free Fallin. Probably his biggest song he ever had.
Yeah.
Oh, which he could have got paid on, you know, a ton.
Favorite cover song?
Ooh,
that is a hard one.
I know it is. I will tell you that Pearl Jam covered the Dead Boys in the early 90s, and I was unaware of the Dead Boys before that, and so they turned me on to them. I went out and bought their album, and then I became a fan of the Dead Boys years after they were
not pretty dead. Cool.
I just saw Pearl Jam did a band that you're not a huge fan of. They covered a song in live in concert of Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the little Nine Inch Nails.
What was it, do you know?
I don't. I had seen it earlier. I'll look it up and see what it was. But I'm trying to think of my favorite cover song. I can tell you, it's funny because I don't even like the original band. You know, I don't hate them or anything, but they're not a band that I'm a super fan of. But you brought up Counting Crows. Friend of the Devil. Counting Crows do Friend of the Devil, which is whatchamacallit, the Dead. Jam band Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they do such a great cover of that.
I saw them out the other day with Aerosmith, with Steven Tyler came out and sang with the Black Crowes and Jimmy Page.
That's what, remember we were talking about that. I go, could you imagine if Steven Tyler from Aerosmith and Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin came up to jam with your band? You'd be like, think we're pretty good. I think that's all right. Pearl Jam show in Seattle Thursday. Eddie Vedder did a solo cover of Hurt by Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
Might be one of my favorite covers, Johnny Cash.
That's pretty great, which he did not want to do.
Really?
And Rick Rubin kept on sending it to him. He said, because he did a bunch of covers on that album that was all covers, and he goes, I would put it on the CD and send it to Johnny, and we'd talk about it and stuff, and he'd go, did you hear the Nine Inch Nails? And he goes, oh, I don't know. Yeah. He goes, so then I would send it to him again, and I'd put it first on there. He goes, just so he would hear it. He goes, I just thought that he would do really well with that, and obviously it's a great, you know.
That song, and then after his wife died, and he was so wife-whipped, and, you know, I don't know, it was pretty strong.
Yeah. I'm going to look best rock cover song.
I know, my two, same band, the Chili Peppers did Brandy and Love Roller Coaster.
Oh, what about Higher Ground?
Stevie Wonder.
I don't really like that, their cover of Higher Ground.
Oh, really?
I don't, yeah.
It's great. Yeah. All Along the Watchtower, which Jimi Hendrix did, Bob Dylan said it was no longer his song after Hendrix did. He goes, when I would play it in concert, I felt like I was doing a cover of Jimi Hendrix. Let me see some of the other
ones. Clash, I Fought the Law.
Yeah, great.
Right.
I do not like the Metallica Whiskey in the Jar.
Mind the song. I don't like Metallica's Turn the Page.
That's the one. That's right. Turn the Page. Also, I don't really like a Whiskey in the Jar.
Yeah, Turn the Page is just too whiny.
Jeff Buckley, Hallelujah.
Oh, that's a good
fantastic
one.
I don't understand Leonard Cohen at all.
No,
like, he's just a man with a deep voice who talks sings. Like, I don't understand.
But he writes great songs.
Right. Hallelujah is a great song. It just, once you hear Jeff Buckley's version of it, you're like, well, that's what it should sound like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Leonard Cohen sounds like he's trying to explain songs to you when he talks. What else?
Yeah. Some of the other covers, Blinded by the Light, which was Bruce Springsteen. Man. Yeah, but Man for Man did it. Nothing Compares to You, which was Prince, wrote that.
That might be the biggest, one of the biggest ones.
Respect by Aretha Franklin was another Otis Redding. Otis Redding did that. Hard to Handle, and was actually
learned that today.
You immediately think Respect. You think Aretha Franklin, but Otis Redding actually wrote that one of the funniest ones, Sound of Silence. Sounds of Silence, which Disturbed covered.
I hate that. I can't stand that song.
I thought it was a joke. I didn't understand.
Well, that was the other guy too. What was his name? Pete Steele's band.
Typo Negative.
Typo Negative doing covers. They did Cinnamon Girl.
Yeah.
And he's just that same.
Dirt Rockers, they love that stuff, man.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
No, they're catchy songs.
GL, you have not brought up.
Oh, The Biz.
Faith. Yeah. Faith by Limp Bizkit.
That's probably my favorite.
That's a good
surprise.
That's good. Yeah.
There's a cover of the Lemonheads do of Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, cool. That's great. That's Aerosmith, Come Together.
Yeah.
The Beatles.
Yeah.
I'm looking
Gary Clark Jr.'s Come Together is really good too.
Better one.
Yeah, I do like that. Godsmack does a good version of it too.
Did
surprisingly,
they really?
Yeah. Speaking of Dirt Rockers,
Godsmack is good too. How many people do Helter Skelter?
You too did a good cover of that.
You did a great cover, yeah.
Have you ever heard Cake's version of I Will Survive?
No.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Cake does a great War Pigs.
Oh, yeah.
By Black Sabbath, yeah.
So does
T-Pain.
T-Pain does great.
His is my favorite.
Ozzy reached out to T-Pain and said that's the best cover he's ever heard.
Hell yeah.
A Black Sabbath song, yeah.
No, Faith No More did War Pigs too. That was good. Yeah. Oh, there's so many.
I know. I love music.
Foo Fighters did a great Darling Nikki.
Oh, really?
Prince, yeah. You ever hear them do that?
Probably.
And they did, whatchamacallit, Rafferty. They did...
Baker Street,
yeah. Do a good version of that
song.
I used to like the version of Behind Blue Eyes that Limp Bizkit would do, but then Jelly Roll came out and ruined it.
And now, what would Jelly Roll do?
He came out and sang it, and he was out of key, and it sounded horrible. Now I can't unhear that horrible version, so it's been destroyed forever.
You're trapped.
Hailstorm did Still a Night by Whitesnake. By the way, I've been watching so much of Lizzie Hailstorm with Skid Row, and she is so good. Like, she almost sounds better than Sebastian back in the day.
Like, I was telling my wife, I was trying to explain to her how cool that was, and I go, it's kind of like they're going to go, hey, we were just doing this temporarily, but I think she's the new singer now.
A lot of people are saying that, and in fact, somebody announced that she was the new singer. I'm like, she's not the new singer. She's on tour with them doing the stuff, filling in, but wouldn't be surprised if she winds up... It's weird because Hailstorm's here and Skid Row's here, so it's like,
but
which one do you do?
You can get more mileage out of Skid Row right now.
Yeah.
I was doing a little bit of a dive over the weekend with Van Halen, trying to remember.
You're no good. Van Halen, Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah.
Great cover.
Van Halen had David Lee Roth, then they had Sammy Hagar, and then they had
Gary
Cherone. Then they went back to David Lee Roth, and then... I think that was it, right? But I was thinking about what a bold move that was for them to get a new lead singer.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the thing was, even though they lost a little bit of the charisma with David Lee Roth, the singing-wise, they got such a great singer that they became a stronger band. And then that one album was almost like the VH1 Van Halen, where they had a bunch of almost like adult contemporary songs on there, but they were still cool. And then... the Gary Cherone one, another great singer, but no good songs. Like, can you name any one song? Yeah.
No, I was never a fan of Gary. You know, I was never a fan of him in Extreme. Like, Extreme was such a great band, and then he stood out as the sore thumb in there for me because they were like such great musicians and stuff. I just didn't like his voice. I don't like the way he sings and phrases
stuff.
How
ballsy that they think that they were going to put three different lead singers in their band and it'd be Van Halen all three times. They got lucky with Sammy. And then I watched some of Gary Cherone singing David Lee Roth stuff. That was pretty good. Like, he could pull it off.
So, according to Michael Anthony, who is going out on tour with Sammy and Jason Bonham and Joe Satriani, and they're doing Best of All Worlds, the Van Halen stuff, is that they will be doing David Lee Roth stuff. He will be singing some, and possibly Sammy singing some David Lee Roth stuff as well.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Just for a long time, Sammy was like, no, I don't want to do it.
I don't blame him.
But, you know, they may be doing some of that stuff. Like, whenever Sammy played Sammy in the Circle, they'll do Ain't Talking About Love, and Michael Anthony sings that.
Yeah.
He, you know, he can sing really well. He was the lead singer whenever they got him into Van Halen. He was the lead singer of his band. He played bass and sang.
Michael Anthony is one of the weirdest things. He's not fat.
Yeah, 100%.
He looks fat in his head, but he's not body fat.
Yeah. What would you say, he's got fat muscles or?
He's just square.
He's average.
Blocky. Yeah.
He's average size, but he is definitely, like, if you'd say the fat one for Van Halen, but he's not really fat.
Yeah.
He's kind of little. He's just got a fat head, I think.
I think if I ever made a movie about caveman, I would have him as one. He'd be a good caveman.
That would make sense.
Right? He just has that look. And by the way, almost every day I apologize to Michael Anthony, because when I was younger and didn't really know any better, he was just the drunk bass player that slammed his bass and did all that stuff. You listen to Van Halen stuff, he is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But you so much on Eddie, and Alex is awesome, David Roth out there doing kicks and stuff, you're like, yeah, this guy just over here. But he really does play some unbelievable stuff.
And he just seems like he's the nicest, happiest guy in the world.
100%. Did you see the video of him and Sammy in the Ferrari the other day? And singing I Can't Drive 55.
No.
It was great. This one, by the way, another cover that really put him on the map, which was a great cover, was Sweet Dreams, Marilyn Manson.
Ooh.
Yeah, they killed that song. They did a great job with
it. It was so creepy and weird in the video and everything. You're like, okay, I see what this guy's all about.
That really pushed him into the mainstream, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure. That was his big first like crossover.
Well, and where is he now?
He's bloated and I think going out on tour again. And
wasn't he on trial for a while?
Yeah, there was a bunch of different allegations.
There's some sexual assault stuff, I thought.
Yeah.
I watched the HBO documentary about that. I'm on Marilyn Manson's side on that one. It didn't seem like he did anything wrong.
I don't know. When I saw him raping Juice on Sons of Anarchy, that changed everything for me.
It's a TV show.
I could not see him the same way.
That's very so aggressive.
True. So true.
I don't know how they convinced him to do that. That's all I can think of, too.
Some things you can't unsee.
Juice.
I saw him open for Slayer, Marilyn Manson, and he was just he was just bloated, and he would like drink a sip of beer and then throw it down. And I was like, get on with Slayer, get out of here.
The couple times I saw him, he was great.
Yeah,
he
me too.
Good show,
but it was also a long time ago.
Yeah, it was early on when he's first coming out.
All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll play a game, give some stuff away, and then Ian Beckles will be here at the top of the hour. It's Mike Calta the show. This is 102.5 The Bone.
You're listening to The Mike Calta Show. Now, a bone traffic update from the Farrah and Farrah personal injury attorneys traffic.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.